Welcome to Her Story, a project by Chick History. I'm your host, Rebecca Price. For 1 year, we asked 50 contemporary women to share the story of the historical woman who has inspired her. Join us every week for a new story of inspiration, from the headliners to the lesser-known gems.
Dust off the books, read all the letters, preserve with time, dig out the truth written between the lines. Her history cannot be left behind. She shall not be forgotten.
Joining us today for Her Story number 46 is Shelby Knox. Shelby is nationally known as the subject of The Education of Shelby Knox, a Sundance award-winning film that chronicled her high school activism for comprehensive sex education and the establishment of a gay-straight alliance in her conservative hometown. She is now a senior organizer at Change.org, where she helps teen feminists start and win campaigns against sexualization and for women's rights. She is also on the board of the Service Women's Action Network and the Matilda Jocelyn Gage Foundation, and on the leadership team for Spark Movement, a girl-fueled movement to end the sexualization of women and girls in the media. She is the founder of the Radical Women's History Project, and with Steve Harold, the co-founder of Feminists of Generation Now. She can be found online blogging for The Abortion Gang, a millennial feminist reproductive justice blog, and live tweeting the revolution at Shelby Knox. Shelby, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
And which woman are you going to share with us today?
So today I chose to talk about Zikala Shah, who was given the name of Gertrude Simmons Bonin by white missionaries who came to convert her and other Native women, but she very rarely used it herself, so I'm not going to use it here. But she was a member of the Yankton Sioux tribe, and in her 61 years of life, she served as a cultural chronicler and translator via her autobiographical books and articles, as a defender and teller of her people's history, as a fierce political organizer on behalf of U.S. Natives, a women's rights advocate, and the co-composer of the first Native American opera.
Well, please share with us just a little bit about Zikala Shah.
Zikala Shah, which translates to Red Bird in Dakota, was born on the Yankton Indian Reservation in South Dakota in 1876. She was a member of the Yankton Sioux tribe, which were forced to begin ceding their land to white American colonizers in 1830. By the time Zikala Shah was born, even the reservation her people were herded onto had been decreased by almost 500,000 acres due to the white homesteaders who were seizing the land. Zikala Shah was raised by her mother on the reservation until she was 8, when white missionaries came to take Native children to a Quaker boarding school in Indiana called White's Manual Labor Institute. Notice the white. She would later recall that her mother was reluctant to give her daughter up to the same type of boarding school that had tried to strip her of her culture when she herself was a girl. But she also hoped that it would give her daughter the coping mechanisms that she would need to deal as a Native woman in a world controlled by white men. Zikala Shah attended the boarding school for 3 years, a time that she would later talk about in her book, The School Days of an American Indian Girl. In it, she talks about the devastating pain of being far away from her culture, forced to conform to that of the same white Christians who had stolen their land and killed their people, but also of being excited to learn to play the violin and the piano. Although she returned to her mother and the reservation after those 3 years, she eventually decided that she was not meant for the manual labor, usually in the profession of housekeeper, that these young Native women were being trained for. She went on to Earlham College in Indiana, where she continued to hone her skills as a violinist. That eventually afforded her the chance to play at the New England Conservatory of Music in Boston for 2 years. In her later writings, she describes how her combined estrangement from her culture, her rage at the continued decimation of it by the white man, and her frustration with Native assimilation radicalized her to action. In 1900, she began publishing autobiographical articles in the Atlantic Monthly and Harper's about her estrangement from both cultures and her indignation over the treatment of her people by state and church. She articulated her struggle with cultural dislocation and injustice while also translating for white readers the religion, tradition, and culture of the Yankton Sioux. In this way, she began her lifelong role as a bridge builder between Native people and whites, at once attempting to lay bare for white people the deep harm they had done and continued to do, while also encouraging her people not to fall for the false hope of assimilation. In 1901, she began collecting traditional stories from people on reservations to be published in a book eventually called Old Indian Legends. And I'll just take a moment to editorialize here. How is it that the colonizers' faith and traditions are always called religion, while the colonized people are said to have legends? So when she married Captain Raymond Bonin, who was a mixed-race Nakota man, she moved to a reservation in Utah. There she continued to write, collect stories, and for the first time, organize political movements. Issues she championed included government reform, law codification, Bureau of Indian Affairs employment of Indians, Court of Claims redress of land settlements, and the preservation of the actual history of her people. During her adult life, Zikala Shaw served as Secretary of the Society for American Indians and joined the women's rights movement via the General Federation of Women's Club. Through the Federation, she founded the Indian Welfare Committee in 1924, launching a government investigation into the exploitation of Native Americans in Oklahoma. In 1926, she founded the National Council of American Indians, dedicated to the cause of uniting the tribes throughout the U.S. in the cause of gaining full citizenship rights through suffrage. From 1926 until her death in 1938, Zikala Shaw would serve as president, major fundraiser, and speaker for the MCAI, running the organization almost single-handedly through her efforts. But she was largely disregarded and erased when the organization was revived in 1944, of course, under male leadership. Zikala Shaw was often a controversial activist, sometimes harshly criticizing her own people for internalized racism and refusing to concede that she, too, was a case of at least partial assimilation. But she was also the first U.S. Native woman to publish her own story without the aid of an editor, interpreter, or ethnographer. She was a dedicated social reformer who understood the intersections of race, gender, privilege, and power long before the term intersectionality existed, because that was her life. She also understood the power of art as social activism and commentary. In 1910, she began collaborating in an opera with composer William F. Hansen, who taught at Brigham Young University. She wrote the libretto and the songs. She played Sioux melodies on the violin, and he transcribed them into Western notes. In February of 1913, the premiere performance of the Sundance Opera was presented at Orpheus Hall in Vernal, Utah. The production featured members of the Ute Nation living on nearby reservations. Its debut was met with critical acclaim, and Native experts say that few works of Native American opera have dealt with Native American themes so exclusively since. In 1913, the New York Light Opera Guild premiered the Sundance Opera at the Broadway Theater in New York. Publicity mentioned only William F. Hansen as the composer. Zikala Shaw knew for her people to survive and thrive, their actual history must be reappeared, celebrated, and studied. She was right. And that's why we must reappear and celebrate the work of this pioneering Native woman organizer.
And why did you pick her as your inspirational woman in history?
When I set out to find a woman to honor here in this space, I was determined to profile one of the Native American women whose wisdom and organizing are the basis of, and unfortunately have often been appropriated, ignored, or otherwise disparaged by white American feminists and feminism. I remember reading about Zikala Shaw on the advice of one of my mentors, who recognized that our paths to organizing had some similarities. An early musical aptitude, the mass publicization of our early lifetime experiences, and a transition from writer to political organizer and public speaker. Separated by over a century, by race and class, her colonized and me a descendant of colonizers, I was drawn, as I've always been, to the power of knowing the story of the women who came before me, in knowing that I am not crazy and I'm not alone, and that my work as an organizer is part of a noble legacy of women who have been using similar strategies to fight oppression before we called it strategy or oppression. You know, I think it's important that we know and honor Ziklana Shah's life because it lies at the intersection of the histories that we so often disappear. When we learn the history of women's rights, if we do, we learn that it sprang forth from the heads of white women and they did all the work from there. If we happen to learn the history of Native resistance to colonization and cultural decimation, we learn that that resistance was led by men. And if we learn the history of social justice movements in America, we learn that activists worked on one issue, not across issues, because that's really the only way to win lasting gains. Ziklana Shah's life and work disproves that, and she's not alone. She's by no means the only female Native organizer of her era to work across movements in a variety of mediums. But knowing her life and her work hopefully will inspire us, as it did me, to ask, who else have we disappeared? What parts of ourselves and our collective history have we lost by doing that?
Now, let's talk about a book. Is there something out there that you would recommend to listeners so they can start learning more about her?
Yeah, I mean, so I started looking for this, and I realized that too often we learn the history of marginalized folks, if we learn it at all, we learn it through the words of others, who either strive to, after they're gone, lionize or sanitize them. So my recommendation to learn more about Ziklana Shah's life is her own book, American Indian Stories, which was originally published in 1921, but was republished in 1993. The book is a collection of autobiographical stories about her upbringing on the reservation, her time at the boarding school, as well as a mix of allegorical fiction about Native life and white oppression. The book is by no means perfect. At the time when it was published, it was criticized for passing off radical activism as autobiographical narration, and some Native critics said it idealized life on the reservation. But it is her own testament of her own life, and making our judgments of historical women based on their lived experience is, at least in my opinion, a mark of respect that's the least we owe them.
Well, there you have it for Ziklana Shah. Shelby, thank you so much for sharing her story with us.
Thank you.
To learn more about her story and other projects by Chick History, you can visit the website chickhistory.com. And please join us every week for another story of an inspirational woman in history.
I'm here to tell a story, something precious and fine, about a woman who made a difference with her life. She might not be known, but to only a few, her story remembered here is gonna change that view. Her history cannot be left behind. She shall not be forgotten. Her story not forgotten.